Welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Johnny.
And today we are talking about stuff. We're talking about comic books and The Flash and the new Ghostbusters and the new Star Wars Rebel clip, right?
Yes.
All right. Should we hop into it?
Yeah.
Or should we talk about how I don't know how to use a calendar?
I don't think it was. You just don't know how to count.
That's true too. That's why I have a degree in journalism. See, and not
52
math.
52 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
And then the next week is the anniversary.
Yeah. I get it. So, anyway, I was thinking this was our 1 year anniversary show.
And it's not. Anniversary show.
See, now I'm gonna go get hit by like a bus or something, and we'll never have a 1 year anniversary show.
Okay.
It'll be sad.
You already have a replacement, so.
Well, you're her intern.
Oh, wow.
So.
You know.
Anyway. All right, so.
You'd probably get paid better there than I would other places, right?
Maybe. She probably would pay you. All right, so kicking off the news bites, the CW and The Flash, released images of Wally West as Kid Flash.
In the Flashpoint universe. Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah, you're right. What do you think about the suit?
The suit looks fine. It kind of looks like a Zoom suit.
Yeah, it does a little. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, I think if they're going to have the open top like that,
yeah,
he needs to grow his hair out.
Yeah, like you want dreadlocks?
No, it doesn't have to be that. That would be kind of cool. That would be like a cool visual.
Yeah, it would.
But, no, it's just it looks like it's unfinished.
Like
and
his
I think
too short.
His hair's too short. Yeah. I really like the yellow and the red together. It looks good.
Right.
But as always, I like to wait until I see these things in motion.
Right.
And not.
Did you see the other Flash?
No.
There was a picture that I guess somebody took from the street on their phone or whatever.
Okay.
Of another Flash that kind of looks like Black Flash.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It was weird looking.
Yeah.
And I forgot to send it to you.
Well, I will. I'll check that down at some point. But
yeah.
No. Like I said though, I liked when the Flash first came out and they announced everything and they first showed the costume.
Right.
I liked the costume from the jump.
Yeah.
Like even in the still images.
Yeah, it looked fine. I was like the white. Behind the lightning bolt was the only thing that I had an issue with. There was no white behind the lightning bolt.
Yeah.
So it just looked like, you know, kind of dark in that area. I don't know. I mean, the suit looks what you would think a real superhero suit would look
like.
Because, I mean, you know, the Arrow suit is just a leather suit. And his suit looks like, you know, it could have been a pilot suit or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a mixture.
Well,
it
was a firefighter's suit that Cisco had made.
Things is what I was going to say.
But, you know, they don't have unstable molecules in real life.
Right.
So they can't make these superhero costumes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Berlanti. As fantastic as these shirts are, Berlanti's group does keep certain things at a scientific point, you know, as, you know. It's the cosmic treadmill hasn't worked too well.
No, not yet. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing this one in motion and in action. And
why?
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's in from Flashpoint, the premiere episode for season 3, which I'm still not 100% sure how I'm going to watch it.
You'll figure it out.
Stupid Hulu and CW not getting along like a bunch of babies. Anyway, sorry. All right, so...
You're more angry than they are.
I probably am, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so next up is Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Are you going to go see it?
I thought about going to see it tomorrow.
I was thinking about this weekend.
Yeah.
It's certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes already.
I just am not judging it by the preview.
So I was having a conversation with someone at work about this today, and he made an excellent point. Guy named Patrick, he said, what if they made the previews that bad on purpose, so when people saw the movie they were like, could have been worse. So
I mean, I didn't think the previews are that bad. I mean, they are what they are, but you know, you go back and look at previews for like the original Ghostbusters, it's not like it's spectacular.
Previews, like, you know, are most of the time not like, look at John Carter. That's a movie that was really good that had bad previews.
Yeah.
The story that gave George Lucas his idea for Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I remember from that. I'm like, the hell? It's like, what? You know,
I already said before, my biggest problem with this movie is the fact that they shot it in Boston and they're pretending that it's New York.
Okay.
Whereas they shot it in Boston, these women should have been Boston Ghostbusters. Like
it could have been a division of the Ghostbusters. It
totally could have, instead of like saying, oh, okay, well, we're going to do a few New York exterior shots.
Right, yeah.
You know, because again, like, ghosts can be everywhere, right? And it would make more sense to have ghosts in Boston.
Yeah.
And they could all be like colonial themed.
I was
going
to say they get all the colonial.
That would be really, really cool. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to see it, you know, I don't know if I'm going to see it in the theater, but I'll definitely see it at some point.
Right.
I might try this weekend, just depending on what's going on. All right. So then the next thing is Marvel Now, which haven't they called something Marvel Now before?
Mm-hmm. It was Marvel Now once before.
Because it was Marvel Now, and then it was All New, All Different, mm-hmm. and then it was Secret Wars, mm-hmm. and then it's whatever it is right now.
8 months later.
And then now they're going back to Marvel Now.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so in the show notes, you can go to the link from Newsarama. They actually have a gallery of all 30 covers.
Yeah.
Did you go through it?
I glanced at it.
So they are they're missing some pretty key titles.
Well, that's the thing is, like, they already said some of those key titles are going to be there. They're just not putting the covers up there.
Okay, because there's...
I guess there's going to, like, the... I think next week is previews.
Okay.
They're so going to have stuff in there. Previews will be there too.
So the only X book is The Death of X, which is the 4-part miniseries that we learn how the adult Cyclops died.
Okay.
And it's kind of understanding why there's so much beef with the Inhumans. And then Uncanny Inhumans Uncanny Inhumans is on there. I'm sorry. But yeah, like there's no all new X-Men. There's no Uncanny X-Men. There's no, Extraordinary X-Men.
Okay.
Which has been, like, surprisingly good, that one. Uncanny X-Men is the best of them all right now, currently. But I tell you, I am looking forward to the Unworthy Thor.
Yeah.
Just it's the Odinson.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and the Mighty Thor has been really good.
Yeah.
I've really thoroughly enjoyed that book.
Now, has he been in that book?
I'm like, 2 issues behind, so he may have, but I don't remember him in there before. But then they're going through and they're like renumbering stuff again. Nova's getting a new number one.
Well, it might be Richard Rider again
too, maybe. So. There's Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number one.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's going to be an ongoing, because that was one of the Secret War miniseries that I actually thoroughly enjoyed.
Peter and Mary Jane getting married?
With a kid who has Spider-Man's powers.
Oh, okay.
So
sounds like a Superman story that happened a few years ago.
Yeah. So Invincible Iron Man is getting renumbered to number one, and that's the girl taking over.
Right.
And then there's Infamous Iron Man.
Right.
Which, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but they totally stole our name.
Yeah, well.
We should sue. We had it first.
You go ahead and do that.
Yeah, right. Their team O lawyers will come after us. Anyway, I don't know.
Disney will shut you down.
Yeah. Oh, no, that, right? No Ant-Man.
Okay.
There's Unstoppable Wasp, but no Ant-Man. So I don't know. I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for what's going on with it. But once again, I'm left wondering, what Marvel books am I going to read?
Yeah.
Because I think Marvel
does that on purpose now.
Yeah, I think they do that to me on purpose. You're right. I think Axel and Joe sit around and they're like, how can we mess with Brian?
Name a book Infamous.
All right. And then our last little bit of news bites is from Celebration Europe, Star Wars Celebration. They released a new clip from Star Wars Rebels.
Why can't I be there?
Have you seen some of the pictures Joe's been sharing?
No, I've been at work all day, so I haven't had a chance.
There's some pretty cool stuff. He showed some behind the scenes of setting up his booth and everything.
Oh, cool.
It was pretty neat.
Cool.
So there's a time jump.
Yeah.
It looks like it's relatively significant, maybe a year, maybe two.
Maybe a year.
Yeah. Ezra is a little grown up, a little more grown up. He his face is definitely fuller. He looks teenagery, not little kitty.
Right.
He has a new do.
Yeah.
He got rid of the locks. So, you know, the clip had Hondo, which is great because who doesn't love Hondo?
Zeb has a red arm. I don't.
Shh. But no.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. No, Sabine looks good. Sabine's taller as well. Like, you know, they definitely adjusted the characters up. You know, there's some good action in this scene.
Yeah.
Ezra seems a little cold blooded at times in this scene.
Yeah. Maybe.
So who knows what's going on with the dark holocron, the Sith holocron that he's got. I like the new lightsaber. He went with green this time, or the green kyber crystal chose him. So, we got Hera's voice. No mention or anything of Kanan, but it just gets me excited for.
They get Black Series figures and they die.
Is that what happens?
What do we got? Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah, they're both right there. So I should open the Kanan one and put a little like white cloth over his eyes.
Give him a little visor.
Yeah, there you go. No, it makes me just excited for the fall to get here and, you know, to be able to watch the series again.
At least they're not teasing with an hour-long special in the middle of summer and then you gotta wait.
Yeah, the hour-long special, then you gotta wait 9 months. All right. So, moving into our just normal stuff and conversation, there is a new crossover coming from DC Comics.
Do you think this is a response to Revolution?
Yes.
Yeah.
I absolutely do. Yeah. Because it's Mattel and DC present He-Man Thundercats.
Yeah.
And then it's by the Power of Grayskull and the Sword of Omens, or the Power of Grayskull and Sword of Omens collide this October. That was the little tagline.
Yeah.
I was excited when I heard about this.
Yeah.
Because I remember the old Thundercats books from Wildstorm.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, they were well done.
But then looking at who they have as the creative team, definitely left a little.
I forgot who the writer was. Who's the writer?
Where'd it go? The story's brought to Rob David. The writing team is the head of the Mattel head writer of Masters of the Universe, lead creative Rob Davis, and supervising producer Lloyd Goldfein, which I don't really think they're big into comics.
Yeah,
they probably like they. I'm imagining they write the stories on the back of the character cards for the action figures. Yeah. But then we got, and I'm going to use air quotes because they call him all-star artist Freddie Williams II.
Oh, are you air quoting the
all-star? I am all-star, yes. He did the Batman.
Maybe they left out the JSA All-Star.
Maybe.
Because he did do the art on that.
Oh, they forgot JSA.
Yeah, they forgot JSA.
He did the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover most recently. Yeah. He did the interiors and the covers.
Yeah.
I got the first one. His art is so bad, I didn't get any more of them. And I'm one who is, of the two of us, I'm probably more forgiving of bad art.
Yeah.
So I'm not even going to get it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to pick it up and look at it in the shop, but I'm pretty sure I'm just going to leaf through it and put it back down.
Right. It's a sad thing because this is one of those ones where I'll get it because it's He-Man, but man, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt getting that for 6 issues.
Yeah. Rob David, by the way, wrote the storyline for He-Man the Eternity War.
Oh, okay. Okay. I still haven't read that, but I have it.
But yeah. Yeah, you know, it just kind of makes me sad because here we have like a crossover that I've looked for, you know, that I would like to see. And it's, you know, who didn't play with their He-Man action figures and their Thundercats action figures battling at the same time,
right? Well,
and now
Mattel does they have the Thundercats as part of their Maddie Collector
line.
So you know, I guess they have the rights. They bought it from LJN, I guess, or whoever had it. No, I remember from back in the days when Wizard used to do the wish list versus things, and why they didn't go with Ed McGuinness on this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, because he did the image. There was an image. They did the He-Man versus Lion-O.
Right.
And it you can find it on, if you do a Google search, you can find that picture. And I almost used it, but and it literally is like, yeah, that's what I want to see. That's what I would have wanted to see.
I mean, the fact that he draws like Kyle Rayner to look like He-Man just shows he's the right artist for He-Man. And, you know, I can't imagine how awesome his Panthro would be.
Yeah. He did like covers for the Wildstorm and stuff.
I don't remember.
He did like one of the miniseries, I think, on that. But that's been years ago.
Yeah. But no, it's one of those things where it's like, man, just if they would have had a better artist.
Fan of the characters, not a fan of the artist.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things where, for me, because I pretty much buy every He-Man comic book.
Right.
I do buy every
He-Man. Yeah, you do.
It's one of those things where that's going to be more of a factor than the artist. And it's like, you know, I'll just have to stomach it for... He did Robin for a while, and you had to do it then, too. It's just he's not... He's trying to do his own style now, where it's kind of this murky...
Yeah, it's just looking, dirty.
And it's like, I really wanted to pick up the Batman Turtles book, but I seen that it was him, and I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
It's nothing against him. He's doing his own style. That's fine and everything, but it's like, you know, just wow. If you're going to do a flagship book like that, you probably should get a stronger art team.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's probably because DC's got them all working on...
Rebirth.
Yeah. All the stronger artists are on Rebirth right now. So,
but no, I 100% agree. This is a direct response to IDW and Revolution, with G.I. Joe crossing over and Transformers, and Mask and Nom the Space Knight. Nom the Space Knight. He travels through the universe eating pizza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nom. Anyway. But no, so
is his villain called the Noid?
Yeah. Domino's, there you go. Get into it.
Oh man, that just reminds me of a story of an English teacher.
Domino's marketing team, we just gave you an idea. Run. All right. So
free comic books with every pizza order.
Hey, you know, we get people reading comics.
The Nom versus the Noid.
Nom versus Noid. All right. So if you want to pick up He-Man Thundercats, it comes out on October the 5th, 2016, which coincidentally enough is a Wednesday. Shocker.
It's a Wednesday?
Apparently.
October the 5th is a Wednesday?
That's when comics come out, so I'm assuming it's a Wednesday.
All right.
All right. So now we alluded to this before. Infamous Iron Man number one.
Yes.
There's a new Iron Man in town, and his name is Victor Von Doom. It says here, the greatest villain in the Marvel Universe will try something new. Where Tony Stark failed, Doom will succeed. What is Doom's master plan? So Infamous Iron Man number one is from the team of Brian Michael Bendis writing, and Alex Malev. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
With art and covers. I actually like Alex Malev, so...
I'll be picking this book up.
I love the cover of this.
Malev
did of number one.
Good Daredevil run.
Yeah.
With Bendis. And yeah.
So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to this. I think we're finally starting to get payoff from Secret Wars with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Doom has been in Invincible Iron Man in almost every issue. And he's been great.
Yeah.
So
what do you think's happening to Tony?
Well, I mean, did you read the spoiler about who died in Civil War number 3?
I read Civil War number 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So spoiler alerts. Sons of bitches. I didn't read it yet, but I got the spoiler by mistake. Sons of
bitches.
So,
we won't say who died.
Yeah.
If you would have not read it yesterday, this morning you would have been pissed because people like...
I accidentally got it spoiled. Yeah.
Automatically load, and people did that.
Yeah.
Not thinking, you're going to spoil it for people because it's not even 24 hours. And it's like, have some consideration when you're posting stuff on your news feeds, you know, all of them, Newsarama, comic book resources, all of them. Have some consideration that people don't read comic books on Wednesday. Some people work on Wednesdays. They can't pick their comic books up till the weekend. Wait at least a week before you spoil it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, but it was just like, oh, man.
Yeah. No, so I think what's going to happen, because I'm, you know, I mean, I'm reading, what, Uncanny Inhumans, Uncanny X-Men. Like, I'm getting a bunch of the tie-ins.
Right.
Uncanny Inhumans number, I think it was 11 from last week, like directly ties into what happened in Civil War 2, number 2.
Oh, okay.
Where, you know, because Tony kidnaps Ulysses and everything. Right. I think Tony will be, well, so in Uncanny Inhumans number 11, which came out last week.
Right.
The week prior to us recording this, not last week. Whenever you're listening.
What was the date it came out?
Dude, I don't even know what today's date is. Anyway, they're attacking Tony, and they're going after Tony. Like, they're not trying to bring down Stark Industries.
Right.
They're not trying to, like, blow stuff up all over the world.
Right, yeah.
They're literally, like, they got into Stark, and they stole all his money.
Right.
They, like, have found his, like, hidden caches of, like, houses and cars, and
they're
just blowing that stuff up.
Okay.
And then... like, because Medusa's like, no, we don't want to. If we go after Stark Industries, we're going to disrupt hundreds and thousands of people's lives.
Right.
We'll probably affect the global economy.
Right.
You know, we are. Tony Stark is our enemy,
right,
not the world. And we want people to trust us and things like that.
Yeah.
And then something happens at the very end that kind of negates all that. But you should read the issue and find out for yourself because it's really good. But I think Tony is going to be, finally, someone's going to say, look, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, you can do whatever you want, but you're done being a hero.
Right.
Air quotes.
Right.
You know, like, I was joking around with you that the other day that Beast is essentially a supervillain from the X-Men.
Well.
Because he does a lot of supervillainy stuff.
Wait until you read number 3.
So does Tony Stark, though.
Wait until
you
read number 3.
And yeah. I'll get it probably here the next day or two.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of these things where I think he's gonna step aside, and I think
the AI locked up.
Yeah. Like, yeah, not in, like, he'll be in, like, the raft or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I think he will be Rory. Is that how you say it? I still didn't ever figure it out. Rory Williams, the new girl who's going to be in
Ryrie.
Okay. I think he's going to be, there's going to be a version of him that's her AI.
Okay. You said that, yeah.
So, and I think that's going to happen. I think he's going to subtly manipulate that from wherever he is.
Maybe.
So, I don't know. Definitely looking forward to this book. You know, we're talking about covers this week. That cover is
Ulysses
amazing.
Ulysses is going to be dead by the end of this thing.
Oh, he's got to. Yeah.
Because he's too dangerous. He's too much of a danger to the whole universe.
Yeah, well, he can predict the future.
He's not predicting the future, though. He's predicting
a future.
Yeah.
So he's making things happen inadvertently. All right. So, yeah. That book, I mean, that's definitely a book that's on my must-read list. The infamous Iron Man. The infamous podcast
Iron
Man.
You're
going
to get confused about that, aren't you?
No. I might, probably.
Yeah.
Welcome
to the infamous Iron Man podcast.
Hey, that'll help.
All we talk about is Iron Man issues.
No, Iron Man's issues.
Oh, well, even better.
There you go.
Do you think that Tony Stark was so angry as a child?
Well, when your dad doesn't love you, or does love you, but acts like he doesn't, it's going to... No, I don't know.
The Winter Soldier... So, I can talk about that one because it's far enough out now.
And if you listen to us, you've listened to our review on that. All right.
When the Winter Soldier kills your mommy and daddy, it's going to make you a little angry. You're going to do some drugs. You're going to get drunk. You might have some illegitimate children out there that you haven't
you
met
may
yet.
Or may not. You're gonna.
Why haven't they done that?
You're gonna find out that the Starks weren't really your parents.
That's that part I don't like that at all.
But all right, all right.
Who is the real Tony Stark?
Well, he's out there. Like he was in the books. Yeah. Like, and he didn't want anything to do with Tony Stark.
To do with this. So. I don't have. This wasn't my life.
Being Iron Man may have been the opportunity of your life,
and you took advantage of it.
But I don't want your life. Anyway, all right. Idiot. So we alluded to Walking Dead 156 last week.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to talk about Walking Dead 156 because you just said you need to wait a week before you spoil stuff.
Well, yeah.
So I've waited a week. We're spoiling stuff.
Spoiler warning.
Okay. So here's what I liked about this issue.
Yeah.
There was no Rick. There was no Carl. There was no Alexandria or anything. We focused on Negan being, you know, Negan.
Yeah.
Like this is a book I've waited for. I don't know, for what, a year and a half now since Negan's been in the prison in Alexandria. You got him being, you know, self-assured,
cocky.
You know, literally cocksure. Yeah, definitely cocky. You got him being vulnerable, scared, you know, it literally covered the Negan gamut, right?
Yeah.
The especially interaction
you're reading the Image Plus thing.
Well, and so I read Image Plus number 3 and then read this. Yeah. And the way he's acting really does, you know, pay off.
Right, yeah.
On the Image Plus stories.
Negan is a badass, but you know that there's some weakness there too because he puts a lot of errors on. And I mean, you know.
He's like the guy with the tiny little wiener who drives the super awesome Ferrari. Nice. Yeah, no, I get it.
Except his super awesome Ferrari is a baseball bat with barbed wire around it named Lucille.
Barbed wire and zombie guts.
But she's seeing another guy right now. So,
yeah,
you know.
She's with Dwight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Dwight treats
her like a woman should be treated.
The interactions between Beta,
and
Negan were. It's some of Kirkman's best writing.
I want Beta to be like a former WWE wrestler.
It's like Roman Reigns or something like that. Like it's a real person. Like it should be like a real person.
It
was John Cena was, you know, this John Cena turned into this. The cover, speaking of covers, you know, that's kind of our theme this week. The cover for this was really misleading.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because the title of the issue is Kings and Queens, or Queens and Kings. And so if you haven't seen it, it's Negan looking like he's about to kiss Beta.
Alpha,
sorry.
Yeah.
Well, he might have wanted to kiss Beta, too. I don't know. He's Negan. So this is the end of a story arc as well. So this will be the last issue of the Call to Arms trade. So watching Beta with him or Alpha with him.
Yeah.
You know, and then she breaks down. She's like, wait a second, this guy can protect me.
Right.
Like Beta protects me, kinda, but he's still a wild animal.
Yeah, well, it's that whole thing where the weakest one is the one that'll get killed. Right. And she proves that she's not as strong as she thought she was.
She's really weak, according to the, you know, the whispers. You know, when Negan saves the girl from getting raped.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, you know, what are you doing? If she can't fight herself off, she's not worthy. Yeah. And he's like, weird, like, you know, this little, like, calling weirdos and stuff. But, like this is where, like, you almost want Negan to go back to Alexandria and be like, all right, bitches, I'm in charge now. I learned a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not going to do any of the dictator stuff I was doing before. Like, Rick and I have had some good chats.
He hasn't learned?
No, I said I do. I think he's learned. I think he's learned a lot.
But I mean,
we'll get to the end. I'll share my theory. But he and you know, Alpha get closer and closer throughout the issue. And then the last, four pages?
Yeah, where she comes weeping and crying.
She's weeping and crying. He leans in, and then you just see the patented Charlie Adler little blood splatter.
Yep.
And he slits her throat. D- Did you see that coming?
No.
Me neither.
No. I don't think anybody's seen that coming.
So he slits her throat, and he goes on a Negan-esque rant, and then he ends up chopping her head off.
You mean he goes on the villain soliloquy type thing?
Yeah, kind of. Like, she got him monologuing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo, you got me monologuing while you're cutting my head off.
I'm surprised he hasn't said that yet.
Dude, it has to happen. Like, before The Walking Dead ends, that has to happen. But he holds it up, and he's like, wait till Rick gets a load of this.
Uh-huh.
All right, so I do believe I said at some point on the show that I think Negan went there under Rick's orders.
Yeah.
I firmly believe
now. Believe it, yeah.
Like, Rick sent him there. So Rick couldn't have killed that shitty teenage kid. Like, and Rick couldn't have had that kid punished or killed or anything like that.
He did it the right way, though.
But he was like, all right, look, Negan, this is what's going to happen. This kid's going to come. You're going to go with him. You're going to kill him right on the edge of our territory.
Right.
Then you're going to go and you're going to ingratiate yourself into the Whispers. And then you're going to do what you do best. Wreak havoc.
Do you think that Rick's become that, like, detached?
I think he has. Because, like, he is not. So having Carl be away from him.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, we talked about with Game of Thrones, right? Cersei doesn't have her kids. She's lost that tether. Without Carl, like, Rick is one bad day away from picking up that phone and talking to Ghost Laurie again.
Yeah.
You know? You know, Andrea, like, their relationship is, it's, I don't know. It seems like there's been a little distance growing between Rick and Andrea in the book. And it's more from Rick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's
become more. He's become more Negan-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think
he's not the crazed version of Negan. He's the shrewd.
He's the cold, calculating killer version.
Right.
That walked around, was like, okay, one of you has to die because, you know, like, now he's not the brutal version. But he definitely took Negan for what he is, as a blunt instrument.
Right.
And said, you know what? I'm going to shape you over this span of however many years you're in the bottom of my house, in the basement of my house. I'm going to turn you into the surgical instrument I need.
Right.
Like, so back to X-Men, right? Negan is his X-Force.
Yeah. I was going to say Negan's is Jason Bourne.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
God. But no, at the end of that issue, when he's sitting there holding up her head.
Liam Neeson and take it.
He is. He's got a special set of skills.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
So what was your reaction when you saw that?
I was just like, oh, damn, what's going on now? I really was. I was like, oh, here we go.
Like, I smiled the entire time I read this book.
Yeah.
This has been one of the best Walking Dead issues in easily 80 issues.
Okay.
Easy. You know, I just hope that they keep it going and pick it up and you know,
see where it goes from here. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't need to be another all out war.
Right.
You know, we've already seen that. We don't need to see that again.
Well, at this point, it's like Negan knows the game that the Whispers play. And if he is working with Rick, it's like he's just going to go back and tell him, you just go for the weakest link and then you just take it from there.
They're wild animals
at
this point. So either they are put down and wiped out or they're taken and they try and tame
them. Well, and then the part that you think about is like, if Negan is working for Rick, what is the reaction of the rest of the community now?
Yeah.
What is Dwight's reaction?
Well,
what is everybody's reaction?
I mean, because their trust in Rick is, you know, tiny anyway. So
I think their trust in any leader in this world has to be, you know, we're gonna have to cut and run at some point.
Yeah,
it really is, because it's like, you don't know if you're gonna get a governor, a Negan, or a Rick Grimes. Yeah.
So Gregory.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So a Shane.
I think we need a Shane. I think that we actually need to see a villain who's a Shane, you know.
I think that's what Negan could be, though.
Yeah. No, I want a new villain.
I
want a new villain who's was a sheriff's deputy or something.
Yeah.
And, who comes, you know, is the total flip side of what everything that they've been.
See, so with the way things are now,
yeah,
I think they'd probably steer away from, like, the bully cop thing who, you know, just to be safe with the
Well, they just
the political
go for a military
climate.
Guy, which is where that
which,
thing with
yeah,
the radio.
That's what they could do. Yeah, with Eugene.
Eugene is, yeah, that's where that.
That needs to get paid off sooner rather than later.
That'll probably be the next story.
Yeah, it's just kind of old at this point.
I mean, I don't think that they're going to drag out the Whisperers too much longer.
No, I mean, this seems like it's probably the... Yeah, there might be six more issues of Whisperers, and that's it. All right, so moving on to our main topic.
And the storyline for that should be called The Quieting of the Whispers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Silencing the Whispers.
Yeah. Just like The Quieting of the Whispers.
Yeah, I like that, though. Yeah. All right, so you want to talk about our favorite comic book covers?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so the caveat here is these aren't necessarily our favorite comic book stories or favorite individual issues.
And these aren't our top five covers. These are just five
covers. Yeah, these are five that we really like. Yeah. I did title it Top 5 Favorite Covers, but I can change it, but not now. Anyway, so do you want to go first?
You want me to go first?
All right. So my five were Cable and X-Force number 7.
Tell me why.
Well, it was written by Dennis Hopeless with cover art by Salvador
LaRocca.
Thank you. Well, one, it's Cyclops, and it's the one. It's just Cyclops on his own, and it says "Daddy's Home" in real big letters.
Right.
And he's looking down. It's him in the red X version of the costume.
Right.
The background is
the
all red.
The post-AVX costume.
So, and I love that costume, first off. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of my favorite looks for him.
Okay.
And it's just such a cool, like, just look to him. He's, you know, at this point, he is the mutant leader slash terrorist,
right?
You know, and you know, I was reading the series at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, it was, you know, Cable was doing a whole bunch of, like, he was cured of the techno organic virus.
Right.
His left arm is basically just meat that hangs there,
right?
And you know, Nathan and Scott had to have a conversation, and,
right,
and you know, it was, for what was happening in that storyline, it just really fit.
Okay.
So,
right.
And I love it. And I think Salvador LaRocca did an amazing job on it. So yeah.
Yeah. He did the interior art too.
Yeah. He was doing both for that one.
He's a good artist.
And this is in no particular order, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. So my next one is Invincible number 84. Ryan Ottley and Cliff Rathburn. And the cover was Ryan Ottley in FCO Palacina?
Placencia.
Yeah.
You
know, I really liked this one because to me it harkened back a little to the black issue of Spider-Man right after 9/11.
Right.
It definitely invoked that feeling. But seeing Mark there just in an all black screen, looking dour and sad, and holding the invincible mask looking down. It's just, you know, it was at, again, that point in the book, he's lived through all this stuff.
Right.
And you know, he's had all this stuff happen.
Cause this is the tail end of the Dinosaurus story, I believe.
Yeah. So, you know, and he's made all of these mistakes.
Right.
Like, how does he go about, like, you know, fixing it? Is the superhero thing right for him?
Right.
And yeah, so I don't know. I just love it. It was the background of my computer for like 2 years.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
All right. So then my next one is Nightwing number 54. Writer Chuck Dixon. The art for the cover was Greg Land.
Yes.
Greg Land is one of my favorite comic book artists.
Yeah.
This one, I actually printed it off and I have it framed in my office.
Yep.
I just love this one. It's so Nightwing. You know, he's holding the wingding there. He's like just kind of posed. He's, you know, it's just how Nightwing should look.
Right. He's like coming out of the snow and ready to kick ass.
And, you know, I had been getting the Nightwing book off and on. This was the one that got me to say, okay, this is getting added to my pull list.
Right.
Cause I did like the story on the interior because it was when he was a police officer
Yeah, and, in Bloodhaven, when he was living in Bloodhaven.
You know, and he was finding that there were things that he couldn't do as a cop that he could do as Nightwing, but should he? You know, so it was really, really cool. And it's, like I said, it's just great artwork. All right, so my next one is Powers Volume 2 Roleplay, the first printing cover.
Yeah.
Which is Michael Avon Oeming. And, you know, it's a harken back to the old diner scene picture, and I forget who the original artist is now.
Remember.
But this one is great because it's Christian and Deanna sitting in the diner with just a dude with a superhero costume on.
Yep.
And they're just having a conversation while they're, you know, finishing up their night.
Right.
And for me, with Powers, it's a very vibrant, colorful book, right?
Right.
And especially after you read the story, Roleplay is a very dark story, especially for Powers. So like by going through it, it's like, okay. But it's still one that I just go back to, and like, I'll sit there and I'll just look at the cover. Like, I really enjoy it.
Right.
And I just think it's great art.
It's one of those ones that's like, you know, why didn't they make a poster of that?
Yeah, like with nothing else but like the diner scene. So, and then my last one is Web of Spider-Man 32. And this was during the whole Kraven hunting Spidey when he was in the black suit and everything. And it's Spider-Man crawling out of the grave. And it's Here Lies Spider-Man on the headstone and everything.
Did you buy that from Mike Zeck last year?
No, that. I have that issue.
No, he had the print.
I know he had the print, but I have the issue.
Okay.
So I don't know. I loved the storyline. It's one of my favorite Spider-Man story arcs.
Yeah.
It's my favorite Kraven story arc for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, just looking at it, it's just like, it brings me back to being a kid. Cause you know, I mean, this was a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the oldest one.
It's
on
the
your,
oldest one on yeah, mine. On your list. You know, and you know, it's just, I don't know, everything that Spidey was going through at that time. It's really indicative of, you know.
Yeah, because this what is was going right on. After Secret Wars and the original one where he did get the black costume, and it was before Venom.
Yeah. Like, yeah, this really was pre-symbiote.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so,
like, he got shot up with trunks and put into a coffin.
Right.
I think at the very end of the issue before this.
Right, and he takes his way out.
Yeah, so it was, you know, it's always been one that sticks in my head. And, like I said, I have this issue. It is in awful shape.
Yeah.
Like, it is
you
just
read
like...
the hell out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I used to bring it places with me just to read it over and over again. So, So yeah, those are my five, and if you guys want to see those, they're all on the show notes. So check them out. All right, your turn.
Yeah, you did the whole gambit too of DC, Image, and Marvel.
Yeah, well, you know, we both have pretty diverse taste in the type of comics that we read. And to be 100% honest, you know, there was a Higher Earth issue that I had considered.
Okay.
One of the Superbia issues I had considered.
Always live for the next show.
All of the Descender issues considered.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's the fun thing about this is it's one of those things.
This is cover up number one.
This is cover up number one. There will be another. Yeah, it's just a fun thing that, you know, because I was playing around with Comic Book Database.
Yeah.
That's where this whole idea came from.
Because you came to me and you're like, hey, what if we did this? I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, because it was just one of those things where one night I was sitting there and you can look at your collection in photos and it's like, wait a minute, I like that cover. And I just sit there staring at the cover going, I know I like that cover. Yeah.
I'll do that with Comixology from time to time.
Sure.
Just go through the covers.
Just go through the covers.
Not even like... the ones I own, I'll just like go in and I'll look up a story arc and just swipe through and like look and like screenshot.
Definitely. It's one of those things where, you know, you just, there's covers that catch your eye. And many weird reasons why they catch your eyes.
All right. So on to your picks.
And mine are in no certain order either. It's up alphabetical, I think. Yeah, they are. Mine's actually in alphabetical order. I just noticed that.
You put them all in alphabetical order because you put this together.
Oh, okay. So. Did I put yours in alphabetical order?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice I did that. So my first one is first one on the list is Aliens versus Predator number 2, the original miniseries. The cover artist is Phil Norwood, and the writer was Randy Stradley. I remember getting this miniseries when I first got into comic books because I read about it in Wizard. And
nice.
I was like, this just sounds like really awesome.
You mean aliens are fighting predators?
Yeah, I'm like, I gotta read this. How cool could this be?
That's so the best thing ever.
I literally bought all 4 issues at once.
Oh, cool.
And it was like, of the 4 issues, this is my favorite cover.
Okay.
And it's the whole reason of, you know, predators are kind of badass creatures. I mean, you know, obviously you've seen the 2 movies, mm-hmm. it's like, or the 3 movies at this point. You know, they're kind of just cool creatures. And then the aliens are just like machines, killing machines. And this cover has a predator pinned to the ground with a bunch of alien hands on its face. And it's like, what's going to happen in this issue?
Yeah.
Because it's literally, I read all 4 issues, you know, at once, but it's like, just, you're like, oh, what's coming next? So it was, it's just one of those ones that stands out to me and, you know, definitely is one where I'm like, man, I wish that I had that as a poster or a print or, you know, whatever. It's like, man, that just, that's an awesome looking cover.
Blow it up and take it to Kinko's.
Exactly.
Is Kinko's a thing? Is that still a thing? Or is it
it's
like
FedEx?
Kinko's. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. All right. All right, so your next one.
My next one is a trade paperback cover for Star Trek The Mirror Universe Saga. It was written by Mark Barr, and the cover artist, and I looked this up because I was curious. His name's Ken Christie, and this is the only comic book cover he ever did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it's I love the Mirror Universe stories, the Star Trek Mirror Universe stories, or, you know, pretty much any alternate universe story is fun. But this one's cool because the storyline takes place like right after Star Trek 3. Because, you know, they mm-hmm. pretty much like were allowed to do whatever they wanted continuity wise.
Cool.
And it has it where the Mirror Universe decides it's going to invade the
the regular
universe.
The Prime.
Yeah, the Prime Universe. And the covers, you know, pretty much the whole crew and then the Mirror Universe Spock in the movie uniforms. But it's the Mirror Universe version of the movie uniforms. And he's got that awesome goatee going on. And it just looks like it would be like, I would want to see this as a movie. Like, yeah. It looks like a movie poster.
Huh.
And that one, like, I have that trade paperback. And like you said, with Web of Spider-Man, it is beat up.
Yeah.
And they've done, you know, they've done a reprinting of that story. You can find it. I think it's like Best of Star Trek Alternate Dimensions.
Yeah.
Different cover. And that. But I mean, you know, this thing, like I said, it looks like a movie poster. So, yeah. So my next one is a annual for Superman, the Man of Steel. It's annual number 3. The writer was Christopher Priest.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover artist is Mike Mignola, who I dig.
Yeah, Mike Mignola is awesome. Like,
yeah.
His, like, you know, if you're not familiar, Mike Mignola, he's the guy who created Hellboy.
Yeah.
Just for those of you who aren't 100% sure who he is, he did some Batman for a long time. And, he popped around the industry for a long time before he did. Yeah.
But I remember, like, I think one of the first things I ever seen of his was Cosmic Odyssey.
Yeah.
And he did like all the art in that.
The black and white statues.
Yes.
His Batman one is the only Batman one I want.
Okay.
Until they do a Dick Grayson Batman one, which I think they already did.
Sure.
So,
Mignola did, I think, like maybe 5 or 6 of these covers. That Elseworlds, they did an Elseworlds annual line, and that was that whole year. And he did like, I think, 4 or 5 of this.
Cool.
But he has ties back to the like original Elseworlds story, the Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
He did the art for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons they brought him into this. And this cover is a world where instead of Jor-El just sending Kal-El to Earth, he brought all the Kryptonians to Earth. And it's pretty much not a world that's ruled by the Kryptonians, but it's governed by the Kryptonians.
Okay.
And Batman is older and has been running a rebellion pretty much against the Kryptonians.
Like he does.
Yeah, like, you know, Batman does against Kryptonians. And in this world, Kal-El's a teenager. Batman's probably in his 50s. And Kal-El, like any teenager, starts rebelling against his father's, you know.
Like you do.
Yeah. And eventually becomes Superman.
Okay.
And I don't remember a lot about the story, but this cover is just one of those ones where it's like, it's
yeah,
just
it's pretty, awesome. It's pretty freaking epic.
Yeah. I mean, all the Kryptonians flying in the background and then Batman
yeah, with the,
and Superman.
And with the arms crossed and they're in those Kryptonian robes with the hood things on or the headpieces. Yeah, no, I can dig it. It's great.
Yeah, it's a fun one. I mean, you know, you can go look up the other Magnolia Elseworlds covers, but like this one was probably my favorite of the ones he did.
Sure. Now your next one was one where I kind of kicked myself for not like having this particular artist on my list.
Yeah.
But we're gonna do another one at some point.
Eventually.
So
the next one is War of the Gods number one, written by George Perez and cover by George Perez. This is just an awesome cover.
It's
literally like everybody who was alive and, you know, active in the DC universe at that point, you know, on one cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much like they're ready to go to war.
I love his Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, just, I love the way Perez, I've always liked it.
Because he draws him.
He's not Superman.
Adult. He draws him as an adult, but he knows that it's a boy in the body. And you see in his art like an innocence to that character.
Right.
So it's like he knows that he's drawing him as an adult, but he's drawing him as a boy, as a man.
Right.
Type thing. And every time you see it, even when he's at the point where it's like, you know, he's in a fight, he still looks like he's an innocent.
Yep. And he looks different than Superman.
Right.
Because a lot of people will draw him and he'll look almost exactly like Superman.
Yeah, they just don't put the spit curl on him and, you know, make his hair a little wavier and, you know, but yeah, very distinctive. Like if you've listened to this podcast, you know, I love Perez and it's like, this is one of the ultimate Perez books.
Well, getting him to sign my, absolute edition of Infinite Crisis was awesome. Cause he signed every part of it.
Right.
And then, you know, Wolfman did not. So,
okay. But yeah, that was that. That's just an awesome cover and an awesome story. So, you know, it's a four-parter. It's in trade at this point. You know, it's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much Searcy deciding to take on the DC universe, and that, which, you know, and brings the gods into it. So it's got cool imagery in it. I mean, you know, obviously it's Perez art throughout the book, and that Cynthia Martin inked it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but it's just a fun read.
Yeah.
And then the final one is a Valiant book from the original Valiant series.
Which you're definitely a much bigger Valiant fan than I am. Like, I like the Valiant books and I like the Valiant, like,
yeah, the new books are good and, you know, I haven't read all of them, but they're a good read and, you know.
Yeah.
But Valiant's what kind of brought me into comics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've read comics my entire life off and on, but Valiant is one of those ones where it was something that brought me in. It was a new universe. You know, it wasn't established characters. Like, I think the only three that were established were Solar, Turok, and Magnus, because they had been around for 20 plus years at that point.
Yeah.
But Exo Manowar, this is the book I picked. Exo Manowar number 13, written by Bob Layton. And cover artists were Tom Ryder and Jorge Gonzalez did the colors. Exo Manowar is a barbarian in an Iron Man suit.
Yeah.
And it's an alien Iron Man suit at that. So it talks to him.
So it's like the greatest American hero.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's a good combination, yeah, actually. So this cover has Arik is his name, Arik Abdasia. And Solar on it, and they're fighting, and it's one of those covers where you're like, who are they fighting, why are they fighting? If you're not reading the book and you just see this thing, it's like, you're like, wow, they're blasting somebody. And it's just beautifully set up, beautifully drawn, beautifully colored, and it's just one of those ones where I see it at antique malls, and I'm like, I should buy that. And I'm like, I already have that. Why am I going to buy it again? But I'm like, I just love the look of that picture. And it's,
no, that's cool.
It's one of those ones where it's just a fun, you know, piece of art.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the beauty of all of these books that we picked out, is they are all just fun pieces of art.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right. Well, on that note, do you have anything else did you want to talk about this week?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, then,
if you go see Ghostbusters, let us know what you think.
Without spoiling it.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
And thank you.
Let us know your thoughts on the other things we talked about in this episode.
Yeah, let us know what you thought about Civil War number 3 and the death that happened in Civil War number 3.
I'm mad.
Civil War 2 number 3.
I'm not mad, but I am.
I was mad because I was spoiled by it.
I'm curious of why. Yeah. More than anything. Well, I mean, there's a why in the book, but I'm curious as to why they decided that that character needed to go.
Well, why now?
Yeah.
Because of things that happened with that character just a couple years ago.
Right.
You know? Anyway. All right, guys.
We'll discuss it at a certain point. We'll probably talk about it next week. Yeah. So.
All right. We are the Infamous Podcast. We are online at infamouspodcast.com. You can find us on social media, on the Insta, the Twitter, and Facebook.
I knew I got a lot of books this week.
Wow. You did. You got a lot more than I did.
Yeah, I did.
We are at Infamous Podcast on all of those social networks. I'm Brian Tudor. You can find me, my name, all one word, on most social networks. That's me. Not the magician. Where are you online?
I'm online to Twitter and Instagram, Johnny Podorf. Facebook, Johnny Podorf.
Cool.
Go back and listen to our interview with Aaron Dietrich. Mm-hmm. We just posted that this past Tuesday.
Yeah, so if you are in the Ohio or Indiana...
The tri-state area.
Tri-state. The tri-state area.
Yeah.
Doofenshmirtz.
If you're anywhere near Dayton...
On July 24th, which is a Sunday, not a Saturday. It's a Sunday.
Check out his show,
the Ohio Toy and Comic Show.
Yeah.
In Fairborn, Ohio, at the Holiday Inn.
Fairborn is near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, if you're not sure.
And Wright State University.
Yes. Yeah, the hotel is actually right across the street from Wright State. So.
Yep. And if you guys are feeling froggy and have some time, hop on to iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher and, you know, give us a good review. And let us know how we're doing. And
what
if you haven't,
like five stars.
And if you haven't yet, subscribe. New episodes come out every Friday with special bonus episodes occasionally on Tuesdays.
Yes.
All right. And next year is our 1 year anniversary.
Next year?
Next week.
Okay.
I said next year, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Next week is our 1 year anniversary. I should have said next year is our 1 week
anniversary.
Next week
is Brian's 1 year anniversary. I don't know when I started on this show.
it's kind of strange because you
the
filled
week
in
after
a couple
next,
times.
Next, I was on the second episode.
Woo! Yeah, you were. And then you were on, I think, the 7th episode.
I don't remember.
I think it was like the 11th when you took over full time.
But get our intern to check that.
Yeah, we'll get the intern.
Yeah, get the intern to check.
She's
the history notes.
She's gonna guest host a couple of. Episodes here in the future.
You should just do reviews of each issue.
No,
as it comes out.
We want to do it all at once because she wants to connect all the covers. We're talking about Jay Torres's Mighty Zodiac book, which you can go back and listen to the interview with him about that. The Kid 07, my daughter, is obsessed with this book, and she doesn't want to talk about it until she gets all six covers and can connect them and then read them all at once again.
Okay. So. All right. That makes more sense.
It does.
So we'll just review each issue as they come out. I'm going to one up on your kid here. Since she pulled a sword on me when I walked in and said
she did pull a sword on you.
I thought, like, you know, every week I quit. This week I didn't have to quit. I got fired.
No, you got demoted to intern.
Oh, yeah. I got demoted to intern. So.
All right, guys. Whenever you listen to this, I hope you are awesome and safe. And guys and gals, that you're awesome and safe and enjoying life. And we will talk to you
guys
next week.
Guys and gals, any being whatsoever, if you're out in space listening to this, come on down.
Later.